I love that song, Walking Free. You know, there's a line in there that talks about using a key. And, you know, if you've ever traveled or been on the road somewhere, there are certain aspects to having your keys that you're very thankful for. You know, you go to a hotel, you got to get your key. Of course, they let you check in digitally these days. Now you can just hold your phone up to the doorknob at a hotel and it gives you access. But house keys, car keys, hotel rooms. You know, the other day I needed access to a particular program, an app that I was using, and it prompted me to enter a license key. And that's something that they give to you when you purchase their particular thing that gives you the access. And it gives you all the resources and just pretty much completely at your disposal. And so what a key does, and it gives person entree. It gives you entry. It gives you the ability to do something that more than likely you couldn't do without it, at least legally, let's say. A key, it gives you a person entry and the ability to do something that you could not do without it. It gives you access. Because you know what? And you've been there and I've been there. You lose your keys, you are in a pickle for sure. Hopefully you find your keys or you can beam down a signal from outer space that will open your car. Otherwise, you're going to end up calling a locksmith who's going to come up and open your car and maybe give you a key. Well, tonight I want to teach on a subject I called Come On In. And I'd like to add the water's fine. You know, last week, actually here just a couple days ago, there was a unique day that happened in the Hebrew calendar. On Sunday evening, the 24th at sunset, through Monday evening, the 25th at sunset, there was the most holy day in Hebrew culture. It was called Yom Kippur, or as we know it, the Day of Atonement, which I like to remember that as breaking that up into three syllables, at one minute, at one minute. And this was the one day historically that the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies to make sacrificial offerings for the sins of Israel for that year. And it was a figurative way of pointing to Jesus, who would finish the work by being the ultimate sacrifice, acquiring full and complete redemption for mankind. He set us free. He was the key to that door. He set us free, and he opened that door. He set us free and gave us rights and privileges, so now we can enjoy them. And what that did, in a really summarized form, is opened the door for us to be free to have fellowship and access, complete enjoying the presence of God without restrictions. And so all you can say once you've experienced that sort of fellowship, intimacy, being in the presence, all you can say to others is, come on in. Come on in. So take your Bibles, please, if you would, or listen. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 9, read a couple of verses here about the holy place and what the Lord accomplished for us. So in Hebrews chapter 9, we'll be starting right there in verse 1, and I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. Now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up in its first room where the lampstand and the table with its consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered ark of the covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now. Verse 6. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. And this is an illustration, verse 9, for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order. These verses, although probably we don't read those that frequently, really give us a brief overview of something that was very traditional and very well known of in the Hebrew culture. And for, I would say, if not all of us, you're pretty unfamiliar with the customs of the Hebrews, the Jews in that time, and really the tabernacle and the temple and the holy place and the most holy place and the incense and the sacrifices and the offerings and all these things. For the most part, we read them, but only with, you know, study maybe and some more extended teaching do we really see the comparison. But God is great how he continues to work with us. So I want to keep reading here, verse 11. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? You know, Jesus broke the chains that enslaved mankind for thousands of years. And still today, his work continues to set the captives free. Jesus Christ gave us that access. He handed us the keys to the kingdom. And he said, come on in. And I've been on this verse here for a period of time now. And I'd like to share it again with you in Romans chapter 5, because we benefit so greatly from the things that Jesus Christ did in his finished work, which was the expression of the great love that God had. He sent Jesus, but Jesus had a choice, and he made the right choice. And now we've received so that we can walk and that we can invite others to come and see. Come on in. I threw in that little phrase, the water's fine, because a lot of times you're in the pool and people are on the edge. They say, how's the water? Well, the water's fine. Come on in. We're talking about something far greater than dipping your toes in the pool or in the ocean. We're talking about entering into the presence of Almighty God freely, without restrictions, anytime, any place. What a great, great privilege. In Romans chapter 5, we could read the whole thing, I guess, but we won't. I wanted you to start in verse 15 in Romans 5, although in verse 2 in Romans, it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We, again, it's confirmed, we have that access. Okay, now what happens as a result of that access? Well, we have direct communication with God. And as a result, we can have a relationship with God. We can have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can speak and we can receive via the manifestations of Holy Spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, gifts of healing. We have this energy package within us besides the speaking in tongues, interpretation, and prophecy operated in the worship manifestations, but prophecy outside of the worship manifestations too. So it's kind of got a twofold purpose, which we'll deal with at a future point in time. But we have access to the Father, that we no longer have to lean to our own understanding. Why? Because we have God giving us guidance and direction that doesn't come via our understanding. It comes via the Spirit of God that is now born within us at the time of the new birth. So we can walk by the Spirit of God rather than walking by our own wits, our own understanding, our own intelligence, what have you. And I want to look at verse 15 of Romans chapter 5, where it says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. The what? Free what? Gift. When you're given a gift, it's yours to take and to utilize. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Now here's what I want to really focus in on. For if by one man's offense, who was that one man? Adam. Well, death reigned by one. That meant spiritual death we inherited through the blood that is passed down from generation to generation all the way down. So one man's offense, death reigned by one. Then these words again, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall what? Reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And these verses continue to go on and to tell us about the beauty of the righteousness. And there's only one way that we could have received that righteousness. It was by the free gift that has been given to us. And righteousness, what does that mean? Well, first of all, it means to be right, to be right with God, and not right in a prideful, arrogant, egotistical way, but right in that we can stand in the presence of Almighty God and not feel guilty, not feel condemned, not have that consciousness of sin, like it talked about in Hebrews chapter 9. My gosh, verse 14, remember it said, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, what? Cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that what? We're free to serve, so that we may serve the living God. The battlefield is in the mind. It's a war that is raging to control your thinking. But as we appropriate what Christ has done on our behalf, we experience, we appropriate the freedom that in a doctrinal sense has already been given to us by God through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we appropriate, as we have faith to see that gift, like it talks about in Romans chapter 5, come into manifestation, we can stand before God without fear, without guilt, without sin consciousness, without condemnation, that we can accept what God has done for us, and that we realize that our consciences can be completely clean and cleared of the sin and the sin nature that so desperately wants to, like, I don't know, inhale you, inhale us. Just remember, guys, Jesus Christ broke the chains that enslaved mankind for thousands of years, and his work, the work of Jesus Christ, continues to set captives free even today, probably even as we're speaking. There are people who are receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into their lives as their Lord and their Savior. And by their acceptance of that, they have now have access. Because you know what? He handed us the keys of the kingdom, and he said, come to me. Come on in. This is that place of rest. This is that place where we reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. So don't fear, don't doubt, only accept and receive. Simply believe and achieve with great strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Our God's an awesome God. Almighty God is he. Sometimes seemingly big and mysterious and so far away, yet he is so close, only a breath and a whisper away. Our Father, he cares. You are a child of his love, destined to walk in grace. Accept it, receive it, believe it, and achieve. It's here. All his goodness. Come on in. A water sign. Heavenly Father, only you know what penetrates the hearts of men and women. I trust that these words spoken tonight, Father, will bring healing and health and wholeness in only the way that you could design it. And that we take our rightful place with other men and women of God who have stood the test of time, laid such a strong foundation before us, Father, and that we don't take our access for granted. But as human as we are, we bow before your throne of grace, even tonight, Father, saying thank you, and we love you, and we look forward to continuing to see you work mightily the days of our lives until we fall asleep or the Lord returns. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.